Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of July 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vague. She's at Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana, and discuss the weather forecast today with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, will be along with a look at the agricultural news, and I'll bring you that story we did not hear yesterday with Tom Bias about ethanol and how he sees an update from Washington, D.C. And it all comes up during this half hour of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. September soft red winter wheat today at $5.38 a bushel, up a quarter. December at $5.62 a penny higher. The hard red winter at $6.37 and a quarter in the September, down a penny and three quarters. September corn futures, 4 1/4 higher at $3.78 and a quarter. December, $3.86 and three quarters, up a nickel. And the March at $3.98 and a half, up 5 1/4 cents. May futures, $4.06 and three quarters, up 5. July up 5 cents at $4.14 and a half. And September of next year at $4.20, up a nickel. December contract for 2015 at $4.24 and a half, up 4 1/2 cents. August soybeans for the day at $11.87 and a quarter, 6 3/4 higher. September at $11.21 and a half, up 17 and a quarter. November beans, $11.02, up 15 and 3/4. In January, $11.10 and a half, up 15 and a half cents. March futures at $11.19 and a quarter, up 15 and 3/4. And next year's May at $11.26 and a quarter, up 14 and a half cents. November of 2015 at $11.07 and a quarter, that's up 11 and a half as well. Bean meal up 4.60, bean oil down 7 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finished the lead option August at $147.67 and a half, a settlement price down 90 cents. October down 55 at $151.30. August feeders at $209.82 and a half, $1.70 lower, and September down $1.32 and a half at $210.50. And lean home hogs in the August at $130.52 and a half cents, down 20 cents for the day. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, August contract $101.25 a barrel, up $1.30. August RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.88 and 2 cents of a cent. That's down a penny and 6 cents from yesterday. And ethanol futures at $2.10 and 2 cents of a cent, up 1/10 of a cent. The spread between the two is 78 1/10 of a cent wide. That's a penny and 6 cents narrower than yesterday afternoon. And natural gas with Fay at $4.11 and 4 cents is a penny and 7 cents higher. Diesel fuel at $2.85 and 6 cents, up one and actually up 1/10 of a cent, and the gold futures at $1,299.80 a troy ounce, up $2.70. That's a settlement price, and the U.S. dollar at 80.55 is up 0.16 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, mostly sunny skies on our way to 73. It's already 75 outside, so we've surpassed the high. North-northwest winds at about 7 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, a low of 49. North winds at 5 to 7, becoming calm in the evening. Thursday, sunny skies and a high of 77 degrees on a light south-southeast wind. And then Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low of 54. East-southeast winds at 3 to 5. Friday, sunny skies and 80 degrees. Southeast winds at 5 to 7. Friday night, partly cloudy. Cloudy and 60. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 81. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 64. On Sunday, sunny skies and 83. Partly cloudy on Sunday evening and 66. And to start the work week, we'll go to 86 degrees with sunny skies on Monday. 69 for the low on Monday night under partly cloudy skies. You can take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. We also post his forecast into our website, each of the Closing Mark Report forecasts there at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. It is the 16th day of July, 2014. On the phone line from right here in Champaign County at Stuart Peterson's office is Jackie Venks. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's see. We have lots of things to talk about. We have a little bounce in the marketplace. But as we get that bounce, we hear more and more about higher numbers for the total national average yield. And we have some officially that are coming out above 170 now.
Well, that came out today. I saw that 171, and, you know, saying on too many acres. So, you know, there is some common sense there, because if you take out acres, and I would imagine they're probably looking at the northern tier, you are definitely taking out lower production acres, which automatically pushes it higher. But I think the thing that, what's interesting is all you saw was 171 bushel to the acre. You didn't see anything else. And so let's say we do that. We drop 2 million acres out, and we go from 91.6 to 89.6. That would drop our harvested acres by 1.82. USDA used 91.5% for harvested last month. And take that times 171, that gives us a 14 billion bushel crop.
Wait, so you are dropping out on harvested acres. You're dropping a million and 1.82 lower than what USDA already is on their harvested acres. Is that correct?
That is correct.
These aren't your numbers, but a number that was set out. And then you still come up with a 14 billion bushel crop.
Well, you know, these are my numbers in terms of the number of acres dropped.
Oh, right.
Because all they said was that it's on too many acres. So
right.
I saw
that come through.
Yeah. I thought 2 million acres would be reasonable. But what I really wanted to point out was they're saying 171 million. So, you know, essentially you lose 2 million gross acres. It goes down to 1.82 harvested acres. Take that times 171, you still got a 14 billion bushel crop. That's the part that I think is interesting, because some people will choose to look at it and say that they'll look at the 171 and ignore it and say it's on too many acres. That means acres are going down, you know. And I think realistically we have to put it in terms of what size the crop could be if that's where we ended up.
It's all about total production, not about national average yield or about acres. Now it's about number of bushels.
That's exactly correct.
Well, speaking of that, it's been cool. What kind of an impact do you suppose that will have? I know that I talked earlier today, because I record him on Wednesdays with Drew Lerner, about some cool weather and what it might mean for the Northwest. Growing degree days are going to lag a little bit.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I follow growing degree days all the time. You know, the interesting part is that even, you know, if you look up into North Dakota, they had better highs yesterday and better lows than we did, which is kind of strange. You know, they really need that, though. You know, they need that to mature out the crops. It reminds me a lot of 2009 when we had the record temperatures in September to finish out the northern tier, you know, and then we ended up with a record yield.
Right.
You know, and if you look at the forecast that came out today, it's saying, you know, a cool rest of July, cool August, warmer than normal September, and then winter starting in October through November, which I'm from Wisconsin, so we always started in October anyway. But when you look at, I did a little bit of a number here, and I looked at the projected high-low for Champaign for today and for the next 4 days after this. If we hit the high and the low, we accumulate about 95 growing degree days, and for people who don't know the formula for growing degree days, anything above 86 is thrown out. Anything below 50 is thrown out. You just add up the high and the low of the day, divide that temperature by 2, and then subtract 50. In other words, like today, if we have a high of 72, a low of 52, that equals 124. Divided by 2, that's 62. And take 50 off of that, you have 12 growing degree days today. So you can see that, you know, if you get into a day where we're in the mid-80s and, let's say, high 60s, at night, we can pick up 25 growing degree days. So this definitely slows things down. Not a great thing during pollination and or for plants, you know, maybe in the northern tier that are trying to still mature. But I went to the Climate Prediction Center and looked at what actual our growing degree days are. And, you know, here in Illinois, we're not too bad a shape. Belleville's ahead 88, Decatur's ahead 69. Peoria's the best, 262, Quincy 133. Indiana's in the 40s to the 130 ahead, depending upon where you're located. Des Moines is 119 ahead. I was surprised by that. And yet Mason City, up toward you know, the northern tier, is 52 days behind. So it doesn't look as if it's going to really hurt us, something terrible, but it always does slow things down. There's no question.
Yeah, so the Dakotas and Minnesota will be behind, and that shows up in the numbers. We start there in Minnesota, or in Mason City, which is on the upper end of Iowa. So that kind of gives you a dividing line then to worry about where to worry about. And they frost a lot earlier than we do, but you're telling me September looks like it might be warmer than, or at least the weather forecast.
Yeah, and then you look at North Dakota, Grand Forks, Jamestown, Minot, all ahead.
Oh.
So it just depends upon where you are, you know, it's kind of strange. That's what I thought was really strange about Mason City being behind and everybody else being ahead. But, you know, how do you really know? If we grow corn in Chicago Midway, they're 149 days ahead. So, you know, it is subjective, but it is taken, you know, they do it by the formula, and that's how it turns out. So, this, too, can be somewhat subjective because it is from the May time frame, you know, through the growing season. And depending upon when you got your crop planted is when the growing degree days for you really start. So it's just a guideline is all it is.
One last couple of set of items. Maybe we should go through some other numbers. Have we stimulated any exports at lower levels, do you suppose? And have there been a change in positions on the funds accounts or the commercial accounts or anything like that?
Well, you know, we certainly had a nice day, and you mentioned that we were higher today, and I believe most of the higher today basically is because there's a number of reasons, but one of them being exports. You know, we saw 210,000 metric tons of 14-15 corn sales, about 8 million bushels to unknown, which we always figure is China, 120,000, about 7.2 million bushels of old crop beans, which was really impressive, and 480,000 or the equivalent of 28.2 million bushels of new crop beans to China and unknown. I think that when you look at the market, it was supported today because the farmer has stopped selling completely. The end users basically are in a situation where they are, you know, they're just covering themselves, and if it starts to go down, you know, they'll take short positions. But one of the things that was really amazing was when you looked at the commercial position, they have the smallest short position in 6 years on beans. And that's basically because it's a lack of farmer selling is what it is. You know, they take a short position when they buy from someone for fear of having bought at too high a price. And so I think that is something we have to pay attention to. And on the corn side, ethanol, of course, was out again today. It looked, you know, if you just read the basic report, you see it was above last week. But we need 110.3 million bushels right now per week to grind to meet USDA because they raised it on this last report. And so the average for the last 6 weeks, which is the driving season basically, has been 99.35 million per week.
Right.
That puts us a little bit below 5 billion bushels of usage. And if that's the case, you know, we could see carryout go up 75 to 100 million bushels just on that. So I think that that's something we have to keep in the back of our minds all the time, that could be something we're going to see once we get past the end of August if we don't have something wild go on.
Well, we could, because we have all kinds of things around the globe that are wild. Iraq, Ukraine.
Yes.
You pick a spot. There seems to be things happening across the planet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, that's what we live for. Every day, something new.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear her again on our website at willag.org. And if I happen to get things right this afternoon, we should have our mobile analyst portal, our voicemail, the phone number 217-333-3434 up and running properly. Hopefully you'll be able to dial into that and have it posted about 3:15 this afternoon. Still have to set up the mailbox, but it should work at 217-333-3434. Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be here in a moment. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In agricultural news, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange has started a review of electronic trading hours in its cattle and hog contracts. Trade sources say talks have focused on reducing hours to keep the contracts attractive. Scaling back activity on the world's biggest platform for trading cattle and hog futures would concentrate volumes, which should calm market volatility. Contracts currently see wide swings in price after open outcry trading has closed. Currently, live cattle, lean hogs, and feeder cattle electronic trade for futures contracts only closes from 4 to 5 p.m. Central Daylight Time from Monday to Thursday. On Friday, the trading stops at 1:55 p.m. Central Time and resumes on Monday at 9:05 a.m. Central Time. Open outcry trading runs from 9:05 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time from Monday to Friday. A trader who asked not to be identified says that he has heard a recent meeting with major players and the exchange had discussed making the hours similar to those for the lumber contract. Last month, the exchange cut CME lumber futures and options trading to 11 hours per session from 23 hours on some days. House lawmakers have introduced a bill that would require Congress to approve any rules proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency that would have a significant effect on the U.S. economy. The measure also would require that EPA immediately halt the rulemaking process on any new rules until the agency first completes an economic impact statement regarding all of its current regulations. China's economic growth edged up in the latest quarter to 7.5% over a year earlier. China also says that more than 7 million jobs were created in the first half of the year. Communist leaders are trying to steer China toward growth based on domestic consumption instead of trade and investment. But an unexpectedly sharp slowdown raised fears of politically dangerous job losses. Beijing responded with many stimulus measures based on higher spending on construction of railways and other public works. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report. Over the weekend, Lincoln Land Agri Energy, the ethanol plant in Palestine, Illinois, that's not too very far from Terre Haute, Indiana, celebrated its 10th anniversary. I'll have more about that in later editions of the closing market report and as video up on our website, but not today. Other than to say the celebration, it was great. There were a lot of important folks there from the plant, the region, and Washington, D.C., including Tom Bias. He's the CEO of the pro-ethanol firm Growth Energy. He called the farmers that put the Lincoln Land Agri-Energy plant together pioneers in the industry and said it wasn't easy early on to put together the plan or finances to make a corn ethanol plant work.
They've done an absolute fantastic job. And you look at all the benefits, not just to the farmers that are selling to the plant or the plant owners, those invested, but the community. You know, this is a big investment. Creates jobs, creates tax base, supports schools, supports hospitals, other infrastructure necessary to keep our rural communities alive and viable.
Corn ethanol has been under much scrutiny in Washington over the past year, and the United States Environmental Protection Agency has yet to issue rules related to exactly how much of the fuel can be used this calendar year in the nation's gasoline supply. Bias says that's a better sign than you might think.
We see the delay as positive because it meant they had to stop and read all the comments and hopefully they absorb the comments from us and others in the industry that pointed out how they're going backwards, not forwards, in our quest for renewable energy. We hope they change it. We'll see. We should be seeing it fairly soon, but more important than the timing is getting it right. They got the methodology wrong. They got the volumes wrong. and we want to see changes in both.
On that note of change, I did take time to ask Tom Bias whether he thought E85 pumps or E15 at all gasoline pumps was the next big step for corn ethanol in the United States.
I think you'll see it in E15 because the market economics will drive it in there. E15 is cheaper than E10. 85% or 80% of all the cars on the road today can use it. So just like E10 permeated the market because the economics were better, we think E15 will follow suit. E85 still requires a flex fuel vehicle, which is a little more difficult. But, you know, whatever they do, whether it's E15, E30, E85, we feel very strongly let the consumer make that choice. Let them have that choice at the pump. And that's one of the big struggles we face is the ability to offer our product to the consumer.
We'll hear more from Tom Bias and about Lincoln Land Agri Energy's 10-year celebration as I get some time to put together some video I shot last Saturday at the plant. It was a soggy but really crowded day. Honestly, I'm really glad I decided to make the two-hour trek south to see the community come out and party at the plant in Palestine. Well, let's go from one ethanol plant to another. This one belongs to the Andersons. Their Clymers facility is right next door. And Tara Dynas is on the phone line to take us through the cash grain market. Hey, it's about 2 hours from here to your plant, too. I could come party there if you want.
Yeah, you sure can. Come on over.
You know, I have not been to your plant. I think maybe I might. Don't tempt me. I might come over.
Yeah, take us up on the offer. We can get maybe the producers to come in and sell us some grain, too. Maybe that'll be another enticing thing for them.
I don't think I can help you out on that. You might have to bump your bid up for that one. How is it today, by the way?
It's going well. I mean, definitely a little appealing today, seeing a little bit of green on the Board of Trade. I think that gave everyone a little bit of renewed hope, but still not a lot of old crop selling at this point. A lot more new crop focus this week with basis value starting to collapse a little bit in our area.
So you think you'll have to hunt eventually for crop to finish out the ethanol season before new crop comes in?
You know, it doesn't quite feel like it yet. We have a significant amount still that we own in inventory, obviously, and then with what we've got on the books yet for the balance of this month. So August will kind of be, I guess, the big teller of how much continues to move before we get to the new crop time frame in September.
How about for soybeans in the area? What are producers and processors thinking?
Well, you know, the old crop soybean situation is very limited. Not a lot of chatter just because there's not many folks who have old crop beans left. Really, a lot of the focus is on new crop soybeans and how early they can come off and what kind of premiums will be available. At this point, none of the processors are really showing their cards yet with that, but certainly a lot of folks putting a lot of attention there.
Arbitrage will be your job. You think you'll have opportunities?
I absolutely do. I think it'll be a very interesting year to start with the early beans especially, and, you know, with a big crop, there's always a lot of opportunity.
All right, Tara, what are your bids for the day there at the Clymers facility?
Cash corn tonight at Clymers is $3.74. At Delphi, we're $3.68, and cash beans at Delphi tonight are $12.52.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tara Dynas is with the Andersons. She's at their Clymers facility. That is near Logansport, Indiana. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural cash grain or agricultural weather forecast. That with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Corn Fritters Day. A fritter is any kind of food coated in batter and deep fried. The origins of the corn fritter are murky at best. The Boston Cooking School Cookbook of 1918 had a recipe for corn fritters. On this day in agricultural history, in 1704, John Kay was born. An English machinist and engineer, he invented the flying shuttle power loom, which was an important step toward automatic weaving. But at first, his invention was not appreciated by weavers who thought it would steal their jobs. Ultimately, he was forced to flee from England to France. In 1907, Orville Redenbacher was born. An American agronomist, Redenbacher founded the gourmet popcorn business. In the 1940s, he and a friend, Charles Bowman, experimented with corn hybrids from Purdue University, the forerunner, decades later, of gourmet popcorn. By the way, Redenbacher once appeared on To Tell the Truth, where he stumped the panel. And in 2004, the city manager of Key West, Florida, fired its official chicken catcher. Armando Pera was hired to catch and relocate some of the more than 2,000 wild chickens that roam this small city island. But Key West city fathers did not feel he would meet his contract quota to relocate 1,000 chickens by September. And so Pera was given the axe. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner always joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Drew, thanks for being with us. The weather forecast has been cool and looks like it's going to remain that way, both for the overnight lows and the daytime highs. How much will it slow down the progression of the growing corn crop, do you think?
For right now, it's slowing it at least notably. We are keeping the nighttime lows in the majority of the Midwest above 50, so we're slowing the crop, but we're not stopping it necessarily. And I think we're probably gaining a little bit more by giving the crop a chance to rest after recent 80s and lower 90s, and it will be fully energized when we go back into those kinds of temperatures here at the end of the week, this weekend and on into next week. I think it will do well. Now, there are some areas in the upper parts of the Midwest that are still far behind on their degree day accumulations, and this isn't helping their cause at all. There looks to be a fairly good period of warm weather coming up for the upper Midwest and northern plains for a little while this weekend into next week, and that should help them maybe catch up a little bit of what they lost this week, but they're still going to be behind the eight ball somewhat. And I do see some opportunity for additional cool weather to come along at the end of this month and on into the middle part of August, and not continuously, but periodically. So there is some concern about the upper Midwest crops not being ready to mature or be fully mature by the time we get down with the growing season and get into the frost and freeze season. So we're a little bit concerned about those crops. That would be the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin mostly. Areas elsewhere, I think we're probably going to do relatively well, although we will have these other bouts of cooler weather coming up again at some point down the road.
A big concern or just a question in the back of your mind?
Only a small concern, I think. The upper Midwest has a fairly good chance of seeing normal frost and freezes. So if we do manage these next two shots of cooler air, as I think we will, those crops up there may be a little bit vulnerable to a problem this fall, but it's a relatively small percentage of the overall corn belt, and I think most other areas to the south will probably have later than normal first frost and freezes. Of course, the crops are further along in the south, so it would be less of an issue anyway. So I think, in answer to your question, it'll be a small issue, but unless you're a farmer in those areas, and of course, it's a big deal.
And if you turn your attention elsewhere around the planet, are there problems that we should be watching?
Well, you know, India's been high on the list here for the past few weeks. Just this past weekend and the last 2 days, we've seen rain and thunderstorms beginning to occur finally across the heart of the crop region. This is changing the prospects for their crops. They are about 6 weeks late with this rain, and they have to have their crops in the ground and ready to rock and roll on development here in the next week or two in order to save any kind of production potential. So these next couple of weeks are going to be critical. So I'm talking for soybeans and groundnuts. even some of their corn and sorghum crops. All of them are very late going in. They will lose some production potential, but if they can get this crop in the next couple of weeks, which will be quite a task with the rain falling, they could still eke out a relatively good crop. But other than that, I think if there's any further problems in India, it's going to be a rather dismal crop with a lot of concern for their agricultural economy there.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Lerner, of course, is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.